It is good to be here with people of God this morning to bring to you the Word of God and God's faithfulness. And we're going to be looking at John 6. John 6. I'm going to be reading a longer passage, although I'm not going to be going in great depth on every bit of it. We're going to be looking at 6, verses 26 through 58. And this is right after how Jesus had fed the 5,000 after he had walked upon the water. And so many things were taking place in quick succession. And it reads here and it says, Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father God has set his seal. Therefore they said to him, what shall we do, so that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, what then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Therefore, the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down out of heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And the living Father sent me, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. Let's pray. Our Father God, again we thank you for the blessing of being able to come here today, the blessing of being able to worship you together in these trying times, the blessing of hearing the gospel preached and the word, your word that you have given to us, read to us in many different ways, and that we can sing together. Oh Lord God, we thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that even as I have written some of this sermon out, going to do others just from my mind and my memory of all of this, that you would help me to say only those things that you would have me to say that would be encouraging and uplifting to this congregation where they need that, that would be convicting in areas where they might need that. Father, we thank you that when we come and we partake of this means of grace that you have given us, that we are receiving yet more of the blessing that you have for your people. And even as we understand that this bread and the cup that we take is only for your people. So we give you praise today, and we give you thanks, and we pray that you would be with us in this time of examining your word. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, before I get into too much of the depth of the sermon, there are some things that I had wanted to bring forth. Again, today I thought once again that it might be nice, since we are taking the Lord's Supper together, to preach on this subject. And especially since I'm not sure when you took it last, but I know it's been since March anyway. And so, and in doing that, that we can be reminded of the blessings that we have at sharing this time to worship together, even as for a number of weeks, many churches, in fact, many still in parts of the country, are still meeting only on the internet because of different rules and restrictions that they have. And I bring this up again because the Lord's Supper is actually, according to Thomas Watson and his understanding, and mine as well, by the way, it is a visible sermon of sorts where Christ crucified is set before us. It's something we can not just hear, but something we, and it should be something like the simplicity of the gospel that we should never tire of hearing. We should enjoy participating in the Lord's Supper whenever we might have occasion to this. And one thing I like to remind people of often, that this is not only a means of grace, but it is one that we can actually touch. We touch it and we taste it as well. It brings to us something more of the fullness of the goodness of our Lord, even in those small things, because these are senses that he has given us to help us to be able to grant grapple with things in this world, and it helps us here too. It is a blessing of the Christian to be able to, on a regular and frequent basis, to come together as a body of believers, to partake of the bread and the cup, in both remembering what Christ has done and in the declaration of our belief that He is coming again. We are doing that. Every time we do this, we are saying that we believe that what our Lord has done is real, and we know that He is coming again. And He is coming again for His church. And when He does, I was just reading about this last night in Dr. Kay's book, that He will set things right. He will set things right, and we long for that day when there is no more corruption, when there is no more sickness, when we don't have to wear masks ever again. There will be no more crime, no more killing, no more stealing. Oh, people of God, we should be praying for this regularly. Even as we do, we should mean it too. We should mean it. When we say, Lord, come quickly, we should mean, come quickly, Lord. Not later, but now. Come quickly now. I used this rather lengthy text this morning, again, to give you just a clear picture that Christ is presented to His disciples and to others of what He is offering. And this is the gospel. It's part of this wonderful good news that He has come to die for sinners. But what He is offering, did you notice that He said four times in that text that He will raise them on the last day? In the one part it says, I myself will raise you on the last day. What a wonderful, joyous message that should be for us who are in Christ. That when we see this, that this God He is offering to the followers of God is greater than what we have seen with the forefathers going back in the Old Testament era with Moses. Even Jesus Himself made this very clear to these Jews who held on to Moses like He Himself was the Savior at times. He says, He wasn't the one who gave you the bread. It was my Father. It was God who has done that. And then He goes on to clarify this. The New Testament and what it brings and adds to that not only fulfills those things, those beautiful teachings of the Old Testament, but it brings out the reality that these were temporal. It allows us to understand the great fullness, or the greater fullness, of the work of God with His people in these New Testament times. Oh, what a joy it is for us. How many times have you heard people who are Christians say, they'll say, boy, I wish I was born in those apostolic years. Now, how many times have you heard somebody say, I wish I was born during the time of Moses? Nobody wants to go back there. We love the law of God. We sing, how I love your law. It is my study all the day. But we don't want to go back under that bondage of the law. We love that goodness of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it should at least be considered that when the Lord Jesus and His disciples, they sat at the Lord's Supper, that they were eating the bread that many believe, many of the scholars, one of them that I like a lot, one of them, F.F. Bruce, believe it's the same bread recipe that they passed down that was used at the Passover feast before the Lord. But, you know, that really doesn't make a big difference. It's just interesting to know that there have been studies into all of these things going back to see, well, how was it done? What was it done? What all was used in this? Because the people of God care about the things of God. Sometimes we care a little too much when we dissect things to death. But it's a good thing to want to dig in deeper. My old New Testament professor, Ed Robeson, some of you know, used to always point out that anybody can pick up the little gold nuggets that are found here and there, but if you want to find the gems, if you want to find that which is of greater worth, then we need to dig into the Word of God. The Gospels, and then particularly in this Gospel of John, it should be seen that the Lord is showing us. He's showing His people. Not everybody will get this. That it is clearly He Himself who is this true bread of life, even as He speaks in other parables of how He is the door of life. He is the doorway. He is the gatekeeper. He's everything that's good. He's showing us this. And that might the blood on the doorways that protected the Jews from the avenging angel of death, if you remember that, going to the beginning of the Exodus. His blood, that perfect blood, that perfect sacrifice, is not only able to give us, to keep us alive for a certain amount of time, as did that blood, because remember, all those people died. But His blood that He shed on the cross for you, for me, for men and women and children, His blood covers us forever. Remember the sacrifices that the Jews made was a one-year thing, that they had to do yearly sacrifices, and that those sacrifices, at least some of those, were meant as an idea of this puts away the sin. It covers it, but it doesn't do away with it. Not like our Father says He does with our sin because of the work of Christ, where He cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. And what a joy that should be for us to know. And I want us to look just a little today. We're not going to dig into this too much, because I know it's hard for you to breathe when we speak. But I want to look into a little, and we're sharing the Lord's Supper, and how this might in some manner be associated with that saving Word of God. And when I looked at that, I thought associated with manna, because if God had not given them manna when they were in the wilderness, they would have died. He gave them bread that fell down and came down out of heaven. It came down every day. Well, almost every day. Once they had to collect twice. But it was given to them. They didn't have to do anything except to take it as they were called to do. It was given to the Jews. And how Jesus makes the claim here that He is the bread. And so all we need to do is in the same way is to come to Jesus. And this is what we call people to. And when we preach the gospel, and I say when we preach the Lord, less than 10 people I sometimes speak. When we bring them the truth of the goodness of God and what He has done on the behalf of those that He is calling to Himself. Oh, how we should desire to do this so much. Especially even in times like these when so many people are saying this is the last days, it's the end times. Well, we don't know when the last days exactly are, except that we're in them. And when is the end? The last month, last year, we heard it on the... But we should live our lives proclaiming Christ and desiring to proclaim Christ like it is. Not just making our plans. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with making plans. That's good. Do the work that God has set before you. But please, people of God, even as we come to be nourished, should we not want to nourish others who don't know Christ, and bring them this Word. Let them know that there is something that can give them life forever and ever. And that something, that some, is our Lord Jesus. And I wanted to bring out when I was looking at this, the bread that came down out of heaven. I think it's interesting that in both of the cases, the bread mentioned in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is not given to all mankind. It is given to the people of God, and only to the people of God. And that's one of the reasons why when we do the Lord's Supper, we don't invite any and everybody that's sitting in the pews at times, but those who have made a credible profession of Christ, those who have been examined by the sessions, who are members of God's church. This is how we do things. I also wanted to point out, as I sometimes do, the facts about the Lord's Supper is what it is and what it is not, is there is so much confusion in the church today, and I'm not going to say too much about this, except that I encourage all of you to study the different views on what the Lord's Supper means. And I think that the Calvinist or the Reformed view is the most clear, the most honest, and lined up with what Scripture has to teach, that in this, while we partake, there is something taking place that's real. It's not just an act of remembering something that's taking place a couple thousand years ago, but there is something taking place today. And that's why we say and proclaim it to be an actual means of grace, where grace is delivered to us even as we partake faithfully, trusting in that work of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're not saving. I always like to remind people, baptism, the Lord's Supper, the sacraments, they are sacraments and they are wonderful, but they are not saving. They will not themselves save you. But they will, or at least the Lord's Supper, I can say this, will clearly strengthen you in your walk as you prepare yourself. And I know that you've all been made aware of that we are going to do this for some weeks now, so hopefully you've all been preparing yourself. And I encourage you, even before I get to that part, that if you haven't already taken your sins before God and asked God for forgiveness, do it even now. Do it even now, as you are able, before we get into this. And if you are not able, for some reason or unwilling, then I encourage you today to abstain from the Lord's Supper until you can get things right in your own lives. This is important. If you remember in Corinthians, there were some who ate and drank the blood, and they died because they had done it in such an unworthy manner. And others who had gotten sick. I find no place in the Bible where it said these things have ceased. This was not like the gifts of the Holy Spirit that stopped after the apostolic period. On the night that the Lord's Last Supper, called the Last Supper, when Jesus was taken to the 11, were not saved that night from taking the bread, nor the other one damned through his taking of the morsel. These events were already well set into motion long before that evening. These men had already known Christ. They were doing this. This was an example that was set before us. We take the supper on a regular basis, or we should be taking it on a regular basis, because we are in a constant state of being sanctified. We are in a constant state of having that fullness of the work of Christ in our lives being accomplished. When we come to take of the Lord's Supper together, and this is for people that are here, and it's for the people who aren't able to take with us today that are watching. When we come to do this, it should remind us of that fact. The same as baptism should remind us of the one-time act of adoption and justification. Remember, saints, justification, you can only be justified one time. You can be sanctified all the time. And hopefully you see that in your life and the need for it, and it is something you are working toward. The Lord's Supper is, in one sense, clearly given to remind us of our continual need to feed and rely on the work of our Lord Jesus. It is also given to us to remind us that He was the consummate, the absolute, the perfect sacrifice that took away our sin. He didn't take away some of our sin. He didn't pay the price for most of our sin. Pay on the cross for the work, all of our sin, for all of those who are called in Christ Jesus. That which is past, that which is present, and that which is future. And that even those in the desert ate man a day to survive, that we must be nourished and knowing and in him, and knowing that he is indeed the true bread that has come down out of heaven. So that whoever shall eat of this bread will never die. We need to be reminded that our salvation is not in the least bit in our own works. Not that we shouldn't be doing good works. Not that we shouldn't be trying to be faithful and obedient to God in all things. But we need to be reminded of this. And even as we partake of the Lord's Supper, it should be a reminder to us that it's not me. It's not me, Lord, but it's you. It has always been you. It is his once for all accomplished work that we do come, indeed, to remember, to celebrate, to acknowledge one to another, and that he is faithful in all that he has done, and he has promised that he will build his kingdom, and he is building his kingdom. He has promised that he would build his church, and indeed he has built his church, so that only he might be the one to receive glory and honor. Praise that again forever. The word forever, whenever we hear forever, outside of people are going to burn in hell forever. When we hear it as it pertains to the Christian, we should rejoice because it's a time that's unimaginable to us. It was God that gave us life in the beginning, and it is God that has gave us life eternally. It was God who sustained the people in the desert, and it is God who will sustain us in our daily trials, even as we deal with this body of sin. I've said a lot there, just in those parts, but I just wanted to touch on these few things again. Because remember, the Jews, and even some of his disciples, because of the way they were conditioned, they were like, what else are you going to do? Show us something else. Do another trick, Jesus. What else are you going to do for us to prove to us who you are? And he said, therefore, they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? And he said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Now, isn't that interesting? It's not the hardest thing to do, to believe in him. But without that calling, without that where it stays further down, without that drawing from the Father, it is impossible for someone. But that's what he has called us to do. To believe in him. And part of believing in him is trusting in him. And part of believing in him is doing that which he has set forth. Because when we say we believe in him, we're saying we're acknowledging you are God Almighty. What would you have us to do? So they said to him, what then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe? Now remember, this is right after he had just fed the thousands. This is after Jesus had walked on water. How many reports do we see biblically of people walking on water? People don't walk on water. But it's always, and we're the same way at times, just do one more thing, God. Just one more thing, show us. More that way in our lives. give me a sign. He has given us a sign. He has given us his word. What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the man in the wilderness, as it's written. He gave them bread down out of heaven. And Jesus said to them, again, whenever you hear this, pay attention. Truly, truly. It means pay attention. Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. Part of the problem with the Jews in that time, and by the way, it's part of the problem we saw in the church in our understanding of things, they had a complete misunderstanding of the manna and when all that took place. They understood the stories, they read the stories, but they're associated with Moses' goodness. There was nothing saving in Moses in that sense. Truly, truly, he says, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And it's interesting, and this should be our saying too, right here where it says, then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Isn't that reminiscent of the woman at the well, where she wanted, said almost the same thing, Lord, always give me this. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. How often do we go and tell people that? Jesus said this, by the way. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Now people, again, if they're not understanding what you're talking about, they're going, what are you talking about? And you tell them spiritually, are you hungry? Is your soul athirst? Jesus has let them know this. And then he said, I am the bread of it. Let me go down this. We'll never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. We see this even in the church today, not quite in the same way. They haven't seen Christ physically. But people who hear the gospel, some of them for years, some of them only for short periods, they hear it and they reject it. Some people act as if they reject it, but they still keep counting upon their own works. Dear friends, I tell you, your works can never save you, not even for once, let alone all of your sins. What a joy we have. And then he says there, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. What a joyous word. As we come to Christ, as we acknowledge our sin, and I'll tell you, if you're anything like me, there have been times in your life where you thought, I can't be saved. There's something wrong with me. There's something amiss. And yet we still go back to God and we say, God, I know you're God and I know that you are the Savior. Once again, forgive me my sin. And we should be doing that daily. Because whether we know it, we sin daily. And then there's the other times where you really know it. And then he says this, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. My friends, as I look at this, I keep being reminded of the time when I did the evangelism course of sharing Jesus with God here. And basically all you did, just to make it known to you, is you read scripture to people, and then, or actually you had them read scripture to you, and then you would ask them, what does that mean? And then when they told you, you would kind of very gently and decently correct them. But I want to share there, there's so many ways for us who are Christians, who have different backgrounds, we're built different, we have different characteristics. characteristics and attitudes about us, but each one of us who are in Christ should know the joy and the obedience of sharing our Lord Jesus with others, so that more and more of the seats of our churches will be filled with people who are longing, not only for the forever that He has promised, but for a life that is fulfilled even now, because we know our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank You today. We thank You for this time, the availability, to be able to come here to worship You. And on this day, after a number of months, to be able to partake of that Lord's Supper again, where we partake of the bread and the drink. Father God, I want to thank You. We want to thank You for the work that You have done in our Lord Jesus, for the work that He was willing to do on our behalf in living a perfect life and fulfilling that law perfectly, which none of us were able to do. Oh, Father, thank You. Thank You that You gave Your Son for us. And Lord Jesus, thank You that You were willing not only to live that life, but to die on the cross, to shed Your blood, so that we might be saved. We pray now, Lord, that You would be with us all as we set our minds upon taking this supper, this bread and this drink together. And we do this all in Jesus' name. Amen.